Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Vulgar Burrito Podcast. I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
And this is episode 13, where we are interviewing celebrity guest Louis Vito,
yes.
Olympic athlete, pro snowboarder, former Dancing with the Stars contestant. He's been in movies. He is a really exciting guest that we have on
yes,
the show today.
Definitely.
Our first celebrity guest that we've had on the show.
How lucky we are. I'm yeah. excited.
How lucky he is.
True.
No. No, so it's funny because just starting out, I know a lot of podcasts don't always have celebrity guests. You know, it takes a while to build up for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people wonder, like, how the heck did you get a celebrity on your podcast
yes.
already?
Yeah.
You know, you're just recording from a little room in Painesville, Ohio. Who the hell are you guys? You know, so I'm going to explain. This is a pretty interesting
yes,
story.
Yes, I've been waiting for this. So
a while back, I had dated a girl that was a huge Louis Vito fan. So we dated for a while, and I felt like it was time I was going to pop the question to her. I thought, man, it'd be really cool if I could reach out to Louis and see if he would help me with the proposal and everything. I thought it was a long shot,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
I reached out to him, and I asked if he would do this and record a video, and he agreed to it. And, you know, I had the whole camera thing set up in the house where it was recording her reaction to seeing him, you know, on the TV and everything. It was a big to do. It was cool, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, things didn't work out, I would say, unfortunately, but fortunately it didn't. It did not work out. That kind of stuff happens, but, you know, I still felt like it was one of those things where I owed him for doing that for me. Like, you know, you didn't have yeah. to do that. That was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And being in the position I was with my job, I had an opportunity to bring him out here, treat him to a day of dining and going to a Cavs game and all this stuff. And I thought it was a good way to pay him back as far as being able to bring him to my work, collaborate some ideas with his brand.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of how I think we built a friendship a little bit, going to the Cavs game. You know, we got to talk and find out a little bit more about each other and more on a personal level rather than just quick conversations mm-hmm. or anything like that.
And it helped that he was a fellow Ohioan.
Yes, yes. From Bellefontaine, Ohio. It is actually pronounced Bellefontaine, although it looks like Bellefontaine.
Bellefontaine.
Yeah, but it's pronounced Bellefontaine. That was one question I asked him on the ride of the Cavs game. I'm like, so what is it, Bellefontaine or Bellefontaine? And it is Bellefontaine. We went to the Cavs game, floor seats. I had asked the Cavs arena if they could put him on the Jumbotron and, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know how they do
yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So just try to make the day really cool for coming out and everything. I know he was on a really strict diet at the time, and I remember his dad telling me his dad took care of a lot of his, you know, scheduling and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They say he has to eat every 3 hours. He's on a really strict diet, you know, because he does a lot of magazine photo shoots and everything.
Yeah.
At that time, it, you know, we had to go eat. It was about halftime or close to halftime, so we went and ate. And that's when they came over with the camera to put him on the Jumbotron. So there's, you know, two empty seats. And, yeah, but I told him, I was like, man, I had it all set up and everything. So, yeah, I think after that, we just kind of chatted every now and then. And he has a charity event every year, the Rail Jam, down in Bellefontaine, Ohio. And, you know, I go visit him there every year. So, yeah, it was one of those things, man. That
yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I think it's so crazy because you know, when you think of celebrities, you just think of them as kind of unapproachable and, you know, there's no way
yeah.
he's going to, you know.
Right.
He's probably so busy, he doesn't have time to do this for me. And then he does do that for you and you just kind of develop a friendship from that. Like normal people don't think that you know, that's something
yeah.
attainable.
Yeah, and I do think for celebrity, too, is it's got to be tough for them because they're probably trying to fish out the real from the fake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's just trying to be, you know, mm-hmm. someone, too, or whatever. Are they just using me or whatever? And
yeah,
I think
trying to get some money or trying
right.
to. Yeah.
And I think there's just a sense of realism where maybe he could sense that in me of, like, trying to repay you for what you did for me. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then I think once he could see kind of the realism of just me as a person,
mm-hmm.
you know, just kind of went from there. But yeah, this guy, you know, has done so much. It's so funny to, if you look at everything he's done, he kind of rose to fame right around the age of 17. He completed a backside 1080 at the Australian Open. And it was the first time anybody's ever done that
mm-hmm.
in that competition.
What's funny is I remember I love watching like winter sports and the Winter Olympics. I love watching the Winter Olympics. And I remember it might have been the X Games I was watching, and his name stood out, and knowing he was from Ohio.
Yeah.
He mentioned he was from Ohio. So immediately, like, oh, I'm going to, you know, root for this dude. He's from Ohio. So when, you know, you did the proposal thing and his name came up, I was like, oh, I remember that dude from the X Games.
Well, it's funny because the same thing when she was saying she was a big fan of Louis Vito, and it just, it wasn't ringing a bell, but I think once I saw him and you kind of put it, it's like, oh yeah, you know, and then you realize, man, this dude's been on the side of McDonald's bags and stuff for the Olympics. And it's like, he's like literally been everywhere. And,
I have been inside McDonald's bags.
Oh my God. Still to this day.
Still to this day.
Yeah. yeah. And it's, you know, to be on Dancing with the Stars is like a big deal. And it's just kind of cool to look at who he was on that show with on Dancing with the Stars. One name that stood out for me was Kathy Ireland, because I remember being 13 working at Diabates Food Store in Painesville.
Yeah.
And it was my first job. And I remember at the time, the cardboard cutout of Kathy Ireland.
Yep.
That was like the big deal, you know? And, but yeah, so he's, you know, he's on the show with her, and, of course, Melissa Joan Hart, Clarissa Explains It All on Nickelodeon, you know,
that Sabrina, the teenage witch. Yeah.
I was more of a Clarissa, you know, like, you know, huge crush on Melissa Joan Hart on that show. But, I can't ever say that I watched Sabrina, the teenage witch, but I know she was on it, but I never watched it.
Yeah.
I was more of a Clarissa guy. Michael Irvin was on that season. Irvin. Kelly Osbourne, who I know, I'm pretty sure he's really still really good friends with Kelly Osbourne and Melissa Joan Hart. And,
oh, that's cool.
He had a cameo in Point Break, the remake.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be cool to talk with him about some behind-the-scenes things that he's done and kind of get a different view from where we see it and go from there. But so yeah, let's hit up this interview. We're going to go in right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Louis Vito.
How long into snowboarding did you realize it was going to be more than just a hobby?
You know, for me, it was always just riding was just fun. I lucked out. My dad loved it. Pretty much had a passion before I knew what that meant. And then winter of eighth grade, I went to Stratton Mountain School, which is like a snowboard boarding school. And that was like the first time I won nationals in my age group. I was going to the school that Ross Powers went to, and he just won the Olympics in like 2002. And I was like, whoa, like you can actually do this for a living. I think that was probably in eighth grade, mostly.
So trying to balance your professional career, specifically training for the Olympics while being on Dancing with the Stars, how difficult was that?
Well, for me, I just wanted to get some tricks learned, because that's when like the double cork was really, people were starting to learn it. And I learned one of them in Mount Hood, Oregon, in early summer, like June, July. So I did an interview for Dancing with the Stars maybe the fall before, and I thought they were going to wait to see if I made the Olympics. And then they asked me, and I was like, holy cow. But I already learned the trick that I really wanted, and I thought it'd be good to kind of get a distraction and kind of take a step and a break. And also, I mean, if I can do that where I'm so far out of my comfort zone, then I figured snowboarding would be easy.
Yeah, yeah. Now, are you a dancer?
No.
No? So was that like just completely out of your element?
I mean, I think you kind of, for me at least, I thought like, well, if I learn the steps, then I'm doing it. But like, just because you do the steps doesn't mean you're dancing. And that was kind of like the kind of a reality check, I guess.
Yeah. I need a few drinks in me to even get going.
Yeah, so, same here.
You know, 22 million people watching every week. So.
Oh, yeah. No pressure there at all.
Whole new world.
Yeah. Oh, for sure, man.
So speaking of the Olympics, stories have kind of trickled out about how crazy things can get in the Olympic Village. Is there any stories you can possibly share?
I never thought that was crazy, because it's so hard to get people into the village. For me, we were in Vancouver, and we were like a pond separated by the village and like a casino. And so I ended up, my friend Greg Bretz and I, we just went out every night. Like, that's all we did. We didn't really hang out with anybody except ourselves, and we just went out every night. I met a guy that owned a bunch of clubs there, and we just had a good time because we stayed in the village for a couple nights. Then we went up to a house for our competition, then back to the village, and then we had nothing going on. So we just went out every night and just had a good time that way. But Yeah, I mean, I always hear those rumors. I just, for me, I was like, wasn't even in my mind. I just was going out with my friend and we had a great time together.
So one of the things that I always wondered about. So in 2011, you posed for the ESPN body issue.
Yeah.
How awkward is that? Or is it not awkward at all?
Well, for me, it was really awkward. I didn't go to a public high school. I didn't, you know, do team sports. I didn't do any of that stuff. And I was working with the publicist I was working with was out of New York, but I was in LA so much. So I used like the LA division. So I literally met this lady that was like the boss of the PR agency. And then I was like, full shebang. But it's kind of awkward because it's like a photographer, his assistant, maybe a makeup person, which didn't really do anything because of your face. That was it. And then like one or two people from like ESPN. There wasn't a lot of people there, but you know, they do test shots and they're like, all right, we're ready. And you're like, okay. And then afterwards, you know, you get comfortable and then you're like looking at pictures and you're like standing next to the photographer. And then you realize that like, you're the only one that doesn't have anything on. At first, it was definitely awkward, but luckily it was like a small group of people. And it was like, they don't care about any of that. They're literally trying to get your best physique possible. But it was hard for me because they're like, well, what can we do? That's like you, something that you would do like a cross training thing. I'm like, I snowboard. I don't know what cross move I could do or anything.
Yeah, you always wonder. You see the photos and you're like, man, are there a ton of people in the room? Mm-hmm.
But some people do it on like do their sport now, like, you know, they'll be on the mountain or whatever. Mine was like in a studio.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I mean, you know, for like actors and actresses and stuff, they got to be totally comfortable doing that because there's so many scenes that they're in and everything.
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, I think if I wasn't so far out of my comfort zone with Dancing with the Stars, then I probably would have thought a little bit more about this. But you know, I was so far over that doing the ESPN body issue wasn't a big deal. And it was an honor for me just because of some of the athletes they have, you know, showing off their physique, you know, that's what I look at it mostly.
So in 2015, you had a cameo in the remake of the 1991 hit movie Point Break.
Yep.
Is acting something you want to do more of?
I mean, that was cool. I've done a few. I did like 100 things to do before high school. I did a whole episode for that, which was Scott Fellows, who made Big Time Rush, did. I mean, it'd be fun. It's just something different and cool, but definitely start off with cameos because I'm definitely not good enough to like have like a reoccurring role, like just in and out.
Well, after our show, this is going to be your big break for movies.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't have to act, I just talk out. But the hard thing about that was I was playing myself for 100 Things to Do Before High School. I was playing myself, but I'm reading a script of how somebody thinks that I talk.
Yeah.
It's always wrong if you're not in snowboarding. It's always wrong. It's just like so... top, and then it was Nickelodeon, so then you already had to ham it up anyway. So okay. I guess it was a little bit more acting than just like, oh, I was myself.
We're gonna throw some random questions at you too, but being a celebrity, who's the one person, you know, you're like, man, I can't believe I'm friends with, and you can't name me, man.
Oh, okay. I can't name you then. Steve Wozniak or the Osborne family.
Yeah, that is awesome. Now, do you know Kelly just from Dancing with the Stars, or did you know her before that?
We had mutual friends before, so we kind of like, that's how we started talking. But we got really close on Dancing with the Stars.
Now, have you met Kelly's family and everything?
Yeah, they're great. I mean, they're pretty much how they are and how you see them. That's how they are. So it's not much fakeness there.
That's cool. Yeah, I think we've all kind of watched that reality show with them and just, you know. You kind of almost feel like you become a part of that family just watching them. They're just really down to earth.
They're great. I mean, Kelly's been such a great friend for me for, you know, 10 plus years now. Like, I remember I was in LA and I had to get an epidural in my back and they don't let you Uber or anything. And she like came and picked me up at the hospital and like took me back to the place and like let me chill, but like, you know, came through for me in that because I'm in LA and I need to get these injections before I fly out the next day and I had no one to pick me up. And so, you know, she's definitely had my back for a long time.
Literally, that pun, had your back. Dude, that's awesome. We had a New Year's resolution show a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about our New Year's resolutions of, like, getting healthy and stuff. But do you have a New Year's resolution or a goal for 2020?
You know, it's just keep on, you know, some of your ideas, to start executing some of your ideas, or, like, you know, don't procrastinate. And then, obviously, I want to read a little bit more, too. So I've been kind of slacking already at the beginning of the year, but left.
Plenty of time left for sure.
Yeah. My procrastinating would be one my wife would give me. So
yeah, and it's easy. So it's just like kind of like, you know, the days you're tired or you're not doing anything, like how can you do something productive for that day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Definitely.
You know, with New Year's resolutions, and we're talking about us getting fit and everything, you know, with gyms, what's your go-to song? You have a go-to song right now up in the gym?
Not at the gym. Honestly, I would say more like a go-to song would be like in snowboarding, because you kind of need to get into the zone. But I listen to a lot of Jim Jones, a lot of MGK, obviously, you know, support the people from Ohio. Yeah. So, I mean, it's normally like I find a song that like kind of gets me in the zone. And then like that might be my song I listen to when I need to learn a new trick or I'm nervous or at a contest. But gym, I have playlists and I kind of just like go through it, or I listen to a podcast even, because, you know, sometimes you can kind of helps me zone out. So like, I mean, snowboarding mostly is like where I listen to like a song, because that is a time where I'm doing like learning a trick. It's like you got to be in the zone to do that stuff. So I'd say more so snowboarding. I have songs that are like my go-to, and that changes, you know, kind of year to year.
Yeah. Where do you come up with the idea for coming up with a new trick? Like, where does it all start from? Like, what are you just trying to outdo somebody else's trick? Or
sometimes it's like, you know, if somebody might already be able to do it, and you're like, I got to learn that. Or sometimes even you'll be trying a certain trick, and it just the way you do it, it's different, you know? So you kind of have an idea of a trick you want to do, or maybe it's just adding an extra 180, and then it's kind of figuring out how gravity will pull you and how your body will rotate. And I mean, a lot of it's just like how your head is or how you initiate it, and it can change. Like, we could do the same trick and make it look different.
I figured this morning I did a backside 1080 on my driveway, but it has a completely different meaning for me than it does for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, my backside is still hurting a little bit from it, but
man, I'm hurt all the time. So we're in the same club on that.
I bet, dude. I bet. So
I think one of these, people think of snow as soft, and I don't think that's the case.
No, well, especially on the super
half pipe, those things are firm. And it's like people always. I was just talking to my girlfriend about this today, and you know how people are like, "Oh, it's snowing now. That's got to be good." And I'm like, "Not for a contest. If I wanted to go ride a mountain, it'd be fun, but not like a half pipe. You want it to be firm, which kind of sucks when you fall, but I mean, that's how you get speed. If it snows in the half pipe, then it's going to be slow. So those things, like the half pipes are really firm. You have really sharp edges. And when you fall, it's not like landing in fluffy snow. It's like landing on cement.
Well, it's definitely fun watching you rather than actually trying to do it.
So, well, you got to try it.
Yeah. Well, my next goal is to get out to where you are. We'll do some mountain snowboarding.
Yeah.
I'll probably leave it at that, man. It's I don't know.
You might stay there, man. You might not ever leave.
Yeah, that's true, dude. Or you know what? Maybe I'll just go down the middle of the pipe and I'll film you as you're going back and forth.
That's pretty cool, to be honest with you, because to be inside, like the walls are 22 feet high. So like to be in it is a different perspective than like watching it from the bottom.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy. I did not know it was that high, man. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool, man. Well, I think that is all the questions we have. We really appreciate you coming on the show, dude.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, if you ever need anything else, just call me. You know how to get a hold of me.
Take care, dude.
All right, later, guys.
Easy. All right,
later.
So with that, we get to the part of the show we call the wrap-up.
Wrap it up.
So today was all about celebrity guest Louis Vito.
We want to thank him for coming on the show and joining us. If you like what you heard, go to our social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Like us, share us. It'd mean a lot to the show.
Yeah. So with that, this is the Vulgar Burrito Podcast. I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
And we'll catch you guys next episode.
Peace.
Out.